flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For us, it was a big game. Cleveland, the team that jumped out to the 15-16-0 start, whatever they were, 38-9, leading the way in the Eastern Conference. And here's Detroit. They were up to the sixth spot at the time. And quite frankly, they got taken apart. And it was not a pretty game. They didn't shoot it well. Offensively, they looked disjointed. Too much one-on-one early in the shot clock, let alone late in the shot clock. And it was sobering. Now, Red Wings, you're up. It's your turn on the road against one of the best teams in the league. Edmonton's got Connor McDavid back, and Detroit's banged up. And it's too bad. Patrick Kane will not be back for this game. Means a kid, Dominic Schein, the Pinckney kid who played at Northern Michigan, who toiled in the minors for 8 years, probably gets another shot tonight. And good luck to him. But one of the things I hate about tonight's game is that it is at Edmonton and it's going to end after 11 p.m. And while I will be up and watching, I don't know how many people will. It doesn't help the crowd, but it is a big game. It is a big game for a team that has played well of late. It's a modest win streak after a short losing streak. The losing streak, they scored 3 goals in 3 games and they have won 3 in a row and have scored 11 goals in those games. Detroit still hovering outside the playoffs, chance to get a bit of a signature win here. I mean, they all count the same. This is probably one where they'll be stealing points away from other teams that will play Edmonton and lose that are in the same predicament the Wings are, because this battle for the last playoff spot includes virtually everybody in the East with the exception of Buffalo. So, I mean, you're talking about a jumble of 7-8 teams here trying to get these 2 spots. You got to distinguish yourself. And how do you distinguish yourself? You go steal 2 points in a game that's supposed to be a loss. And that is tonight at Edmonton. So I'm kind of excited about it. Look forward to staying up for it. I'm always a little bit leery of it means more to us than it does to them. Edmonton hasn't played all week. They got McDavid back. I think it was Monday. Let me double check that. Pretty sure they got him back on Monday and haven't played since. That is accurate. They beat Seattle 4-2. So both teams have had a little bit of a rest here. Detroit beat the Kings on Tuesday night, that jam-packed night of Detroit sports. But, okay, so go get this win. And like I said, let me finish the point. Does it mean more to us than it means to them? It could. Edmonton probably doesn't look at this as a big game. Edmonton doesn't come in like with a laser focus on playing and beating Detroit. Edmonton is just playing another game that they think they should win. Detroit comes in with the laser focus. And so sometimes you can level up and beat a team that's way better than you for that reason and that reason almost exclusively. Because you want it more. And the thing is, when you're playing an 82 regular season game schedule, there are going to be days that you just aren't as into it as the opponents are. There are going to be days where your focus and your, it just happens. It just happens. If the Red Wings go, the Pistons went there Monday. It's a Monday or Tuesday. When the Pistons played Cleveland, Pistons wanted that one, and that's why it was so sobering. Now, maybe they caught Cleveland at a bad time because they lost three in a row. And Cleveland didn't want to make it four in a row. But hopefully the Red Wings, in their chance to have a bit of a statement win, come through tonight in a game you will hear here on 97.1 The Ticket. Something funny going on in the NHL that we'll get to coming up momentarily. It is Carson Anderson, Gator out sick today, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey there, Lions fans, all season long at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. What an epic season it was for the Lions. Not only did they clinch the back-to-back NFC North championships, but Jahmyr Gibbs, he shattered the record for the most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate, UMCU has a great offer for you. Right now, earn 4% on CDs. That's 4%. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence, like the confidence you have in Dan Campbell, and the confidence you have in the GM, and the confidence you have in Gibbs, and the confidence you have that the Lions will be back with another kick at the can next year. Celebrate the Detroit Lions with 4% on CDs at UMCU. And you only need $1,000 to get started. Promotion is available for a limited time, so join the winning team today. It's easy. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions apply. Red Wings in action tonight here on 97.1 The Ticket. It is Carson Anderson, Gator out sick today. Kenny is our resident Red Wing guy. Kenny, what is your thought on tonight's game?
I think you nailed it in the last segment when you said it's a bigger game for us than it is for them. Today is Thursday for them. They have a team that they think they should pound today. Yeah. It's just a regular old Thursday. It's like back in the day when the Wings would host, like, I don't know, any team. You'd be like, okay. Back in the like the mid, early 2000s where they just, you'd be like, all right, we should probably win this game.
Yep.
I feel like Edmonton's in a perpetual look-ahead spot to the playoffs.
Probably.
Especially coming out of that devastating Cup final loss.
No Patrick Kane. Obviously, that's a bit of a big deal. They've been really moving the puck well. And Marco Kasper is really created a buzz. And I just was talking about seeing short-term results and drawing long-term conclusions. But when you're 20 years old and you've scored 7 goals in 9 games, it's hard not to get excited about that.
No, that's an exciting stat. I put that all on Todd McClellan, I think, because I think he's drawing the most out of those players. And you're seeing Lucas Raymond turn into an absolute superstar in this league.
Yeah.
An absolute superstar.
I there has been a couple of goals where DeBrincat has scored where it's like DeBrincat does a really good job standing around and waiting for Raymond to get him the puck. And when he does, the entire ice is slanted away from DeBrincat and he just slams it home. He's done it twice in the last 3 games.
And it feels like they're doing something that they weren't doing earlier in the season. They're finishing. They're taking these chances. They're finishing. I didn't see that from them earlier on.
Well, it's good to see. And feels like a big game tonight. Red Wings playing in Edmonton against the Oilers. No Kane, no Petrie yet. Tarasenko could be back. I guess my expectation for him is so low, but then again, with a new coach, you never know what he can draw out of him that the old coach wasn't. Utah is down to their final 3 names for its hockey team. They are the following: the Utah Hockey Club, the Utah Mammoth, and the Utah Wasatch. If that's how it's pronounced. There's a mountain range, I guess. Wasatch, maybe? Wasatch? out of those three, I really hope it's that.
So we can all mispronounce it?
Yes. If we're going to go with the Wasatch or Wasatch or Wasatch, whatever it is, I want it to be something unique like that. Now, there was a belief they were going to be called the Utah Yeti, but the cooler company didn't want confusion. And I always wonder about this. How would the confusion hurt? Are you worried that Yeti's going to lose a lot of merch because people are going to buy hockey gear? Is that what the concern is? Like, why are we worried about, what are we worried about? Is it just territorial claims of the name? And isn't this a huge missed opportunity for a crossover promotion? Like, couldn't the Yeti and the Utah Hockey Club come to some sort of agreement? Like, hey, we'll supply the Yeti cups. You can get your beer in a Yeti cup. It'll stay cold the whole game. Yeah, it might cost $90, but hey, couldn't they figure something out there? And apparently the answer is no.
Yeah, some just want to stay separate, Doug.
Yeah.
That's why they're going to go with the name that no one can say correctly.
The Wasatch? Go Wasatch.
Wasatch.
Wasatch?
That's what me and Kenny think.
Is it?
Yeah, but we're just guessing here.
But somebody out there in our listening audience has to be from out there, could tell us what this is.
Yeah, but if you're a fan, like you're going to be a fan, you're in Utah and this is going to be your hockey team. Wouldn't it be annoying for everyone to get your team name wrong? I don't think that's cute. Like,
well, what's funny is if you think about the extremes of this, one of the extremes, it's the name that everybody knows that has brand recognition that is so popular, it's confusing with this cooler company. They were worried about people confused. And the other one is something that nobody knows outside of that area. I mean, like, I've heard of the Rocky Mountains. I've heard of the Appalachians. I've heard of, some famous mountain ranges. I've never heard of the Wasatch or the Wasatch or whatever it's called. Some Utah-onian, help me out.
It's going to be the whatamacallit.
Might as well be. All right, do we got someone? Pat and Royal Oak, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Pat.
It's called the Wasatch.
The Wasatch. And is it a mountain range?
It is, yes.
On what level? If like the Rocky Mountains, right? That's the major leagues of mountain ranges. What level is the, I'm sorry, what was it again? The Wasatch?
It's Wasatch, yeah. It's spectacular.
Is it double A of mountain ranges? Is it single A? Is it triple A?
Double A. It's really nice. It's not Vail and it's not Breckenridge, but it's really nice.
Is this where Park City is and all that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Hell, they hosted an Olympics there.
Who names a team Wasatch? What is that?
Well, are you from that area?
No, I used to work out in that area. That's why I knew when you guys were butchering the name, I was kind of like laughing.
Yeah, well, we were butchering
it. I had never heard of it either, but I mean, when we got Pine Knob and Mount Holly as our big mountain range, who am I to laugh?
Well sure. I mean, isn't that the equivalent of, naming something after a geographical, like the Erie? Isn't there a hockey team, the Erie, the minor league team? I don't know. Wasatch.
What would like ours be? Like the Michigan Thumb? Is it like an area or like...
most famous for the Great Lakes, it would have made sense. Is this any different than the Lakers that were named after the 10,000 lakes in Minneapolis?
No. I mean, Colorado Rockies, right?
Yeah.
Is this like an area of...
I will say it's funny if they're thinking, well, everybody... I mean, unless I'm the dum-dum here, and everybody has heard of the Wasatch. Had you heard of the Wasatch before today?
No.
Kenny, have you heard of the Wasatch? We got a Ben. You're on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. Ben from West Bloomfield. Yeah, I traveled there out to Utah every other week.
Yeah?
And it's actually a mountain range. Doug, you would love it.
I bet I would.
It's got all kinds of skiing, hunting, fishing, glaciers, all that kind of stuff. So it's about an hour and a half north from Salt Lake City driving up to Logan, which is where Utah State is.
Yeah.
That's a whole mountain range.
So the Wasatch, will the people out there think this is the greatest, or will they think, why are we naming ourselves something that many, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I feel like many don't know what this is.
No, the rest of the people outside of Utah, no clue. They all wanted the Yeti, and it was actually, they had polls on the local stations for the last year of like, we want the Yeti, and kids drew pictures of a Yeti, and they were entering it into a contest. Until the major cooler company said, "No more."
Oh man!
But you're right. They're missing out on an opportunity if they named it Yeti and they kind of have a deal in the background, and then at between every period, you could go and have like a Yeti raffle off. They missed it.
I gotta tell you, like seriously, if you think a Scoro or somebody standing at the center of the ice and trying fit a puck through a 3.5-inch hole at the end of the of the ice.
With a mean Yeti on it?
Yeah, you would have that. You would try to win a Yeti because I'm never going to get a Yeti cooler because I'm never going to spend that kind of money on a cooler. But that would be a prize worth winning in Scoro.
Yeah, and then what's in the Yeti cooler would be the other. Jerseys,
yep.
Local beers, whatever else.
This is a blown opportunity for both sides, but if not, I want to go with Wasatch because it's something I've never heard of before.
Yeah, but what do you do with the logo, though? Are you a big mountain? Do you put that outside with all the snow that's there all year round and paint it brown? I don't know.
Don't the Colorado Rockies have an alternate jersey with the mountain range on it? I think that's what you do.
Yeah, the Rockies do it already.
Yep. So I could see it. Go Wasatch. What are the other ones I said? Mammoth and Hockey Club. If it comes down to Hockey Club,
that's one Gator hates, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's because it's reminiscent of European soccer.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He hates, if they go with Hockey Club, he's gonna be really pissed.
He's going to be very upset. Like unreasonably upset.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like it like, doesn't, yeah. not mm-hmm. for any real reason, he will be very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do want Hockey Club.
Yeti would have been great too, because for another reason is the mascot.
Mascot would have been awesome.
Would have been spectacular,
dude. A ice skating Bigfoot would have been badass.
Yeah, or that, or an ice skating tumbler,
dude. Yeti could have painted the Zamboni like a big cooler. It would have been perfect. Just shape the Zamboni like a Yeti cooler. This is such a blown opportunity. 248-539-9797. Let's swing around the NFL next. Carson Anderson, 97.1. All right, Gators out today. It's a Carson Anderson program. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. He's been battling a cough all week. 248-539-9797. Okay, so we were talking earlier about how some data was put out there with a claim that the Lions fan base is the third biggest fan base that says they're boycotting the Super Bowl. This is one of those, I'll show them, I won't even watch type of things that fans do. The Bills fans are number one on some Twitter, study of Twitter posts. Ravens fans are number two and Lions fans are number three. Rounding out the top 10, Browns fans are four. Vikings five, Saints six, Dolphins seven, Bengals eight, Cowboys nine, Giants 10. But there are a lot more Bills, Ravens, and Lions fans than most of the rest on this list. So we were saying, okay, are people really doing this? And you know, I think there's a difference. And we wanted to be specific. Like, it was watching the Super Bowl always part of your routine. And as non-participants, we had a gear that we went to as observers of this huge sports game that had zero to do with our personal interest or love or fan being a fan of a team, because our team was never in it. Our team really didn't even sniff it. It was a separate entity, all, you know, completely disassociated with the Lions. And then the last 2 years, the Lions have flirted with it and let us dream about the possibility, including last year making as far as the NFC title game and being a half away from going to the Super Bowl. This year, that flirtation was spending 17 regular season weeks thinking about it, and then the dream died quickly. So we asked people, are you really going to boycott it? Like, is there no going back to that old gear we used to have? Here's some of the feedback we have gotten. Dave in Port Huron says, as a Lions fan, I just can't bring myself to watch a Super Bowl when the Lions choked away two perfectly good opportunities to be there the last two seasons. So I'm not interested in watching a game that I believe in my heart we should be in it. Well, Dave, I don't use the term choke very often. I think the word choke implies that it's one of the most offensive things you could say about a team or an athlete, is that the pressure of the situation caused you to lose, caused you to be incapable of doing things you would have otherwise been capable of. And I think there are examples of it. I honestly don't think they choked. I don't think they succumbed to the pressure. Unfortunately, last year, the 2023 season, 2024 playoffs, I think they came across a better team. And this year, I think the problems caught up to them, and they had a bad day, but I didn't think it was a choke job. Choke job is missing a chip shot field goal when you have the win right there because of the pressure of the situation. Matt writes in, I didn't watch the Super Bowl last year and I won't watch it this year either. Didn't even watch last week. When my team's done, I'm done. Has that always been the case, Matt, or is it just the last couple of years? The Super Bowl is nearly unwatchable due to all the ridiculous pomp and circumstance. Even regular season NFL games get harder to watch each year. The league's product is at an all-time low, and I can't wait for the Lions to win a Super Bowl so I can stop feeling obligated to watch every game. What makes you feel obligated to watch every game? I'm only turning it on during halftime to watch the Taylor Swift-Kelce wedding midfield being ordained by Tom Brady.
I feel like that would break rating, some kind of record, Doug.
Dude.
It'd be pretty bold of Kelce to do it during a game.
Sure would. I'm not even paying my DTE bill, so I don't have power to watch the game.
Take that, Doug.
Yes.
Take that.
That is a bold move, my friend.
Commitment.
That is commitment. Speaking of record ratings, Caitlin Clark was invited to participate in the NBA's three-point shootout.
Yeah, during their skills competition All-Star weekend.
And she declined. I think the ratings for that would have been monstrous.
I'm sure that's why they asked her.
And it's, I mean, you think about, right, you're going to have your NBA fans that are going to watch it no matter what. Now you mix in
maybe fringe,
an entire gender.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking like fringe basketball person too that hasn't been paying attention as much lately.
Yep.
I think they would tune in.
Yep.
So now, does the NBA turn to Taylor Swift and ask her to compete in the NBA three-point contest?
I think they'll probably pass on that. But I mean, anybody that thinks she should do it, like says she owes it or they should make her or whatever, if they can't make LeBron participate in the dunk contest, they can't make somebody who's not in the league participate in the three-point shootout. Like, the whole LeBron dunk contest thing, I don't know if the All-Star games do a lot of good in terms of, like, the players' pension fund or anything like that. Because you can make a case, if you're raising money to take care of all the players in your league long-term, there is a degree of owing it to the game, but I don't know if that's true. Isn't that true of Major League Baseball's All-Star game? I think it is. But when I see this and I'm like, she can do whatever she wants. You can't make her do it. But you cannot deny the ratings would be monstrous.
Yeah, you're right. You can't make her do anything. You shouldn't force anyone to do anything. But some people are asking, you know, does she have somewhat of an obligation to the game itself just to help promote? Not just, it's not about even promoting the NBA. It's promoting the WNBA for someone to watch her and be like, you know, I will tune into a WNBA game because I got to see her play, you know, in a real game, not just a skills competition. But I mean, I guess the word is she's gonna participate in the WNBA All-Star Game this year, which is in Indiana, her home team. So she'll do that. But taking some time off, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, would it help? Without question, it would help. Would it be good for the game? Yes, it'd be good for the game. She's good for the game. She's good for bringing eyes to women's basketball, maybe better than anybody has ever been. And good for her. But, you know, at what point does a person get to draw a line and say, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to do this. I don't want to do this. And it's fair. But, we could talk about how much it would help. But if she didn't want to do it, I don't feel like making her do it, especially if we're not going to make LeBron do the dunk contest. Didn't LeBron flirt with the dunk contest?
Yeah, I forget. I think it was the epic dunk contest between Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, the first one, where he was like, all right, I got to do this. You know, like he was so compelled by the competition, the creativity, the excitement that he's like, I want to be involved in it. And of course, nothing happened after that. The Caitlin Clark thing kind of reminds me of Mike Trout a little bit too. I think people were on Mike Trout to be more visible, promote the game, be more in commercials, advertisement to help promote baseball. And I think he kind of came out a little bit, but yeah, you know, I don't know what the obligation is of certain players to have to promote their own sport.
All right, we bring in Mike Valeni. I don't know if you heard this that I was talking about earlier.
What?
Blue Diamond Almonds, Elote Corn Flavor.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mexican street corn flavor.
Look, I know I'm your supplier for the blueberry ones.
Which I've yet to see in stores anywhere, but
I don't know, man. That might be a bridge too far.
So here's what's funny about it is my food opinions aren't very popular. And there are people that have tried them and they can't stand them. I love them.
Okay, then. Well, look,
I'm going to bring in a tin.
You tripped me out. This was in the summer. And you were doing this grandiose like power ranking of Gatorade flavors.
Yep.
And you were naming flavors that I didn't, first of all, shouldn't exist, but B, didn't know that they existed. And you're like, oh, guys, I love this cucumber bramblewood. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What the hell is he talking? Where do you even find this crap?
Well, you can get the cucumber lime zero at Meijer, and I will be there later today.
It's disgusting.
Well, party store down the street from us carries it. And
all right. Early 90s, late 80s, citrus cooler. Still the best one ever, and they took it away.
I'm convinced that everything I like, they take away. But I'm going to bring in a tin of the Elote corn almonds and have people here try them.
No, I'll try them because I like almonds. The blueberry ones are nice, regular, fine. I don't like the wasabi. You know what else is pretty good? They do a spicy pickle.
Do they?
Those are pretty good. But I'll try them.
Okay.
I'm open to it. I'm not open to the cucumber lime thing. That's disgusting.
Well, I can bring in that too.
I really would.
That's only 99 cents. The tins of Elote corn are like $5.
I'll try it.
What do you got playing coming up next?
I want to set Rico up for something. Not bad either. We always do Can We Say That?
Yep.
I have the Guido edition. I discovered two numbers that lead me to a big opinion about a local team. I need to know if we can say what I'm saying. And then we're going to get into my conspiracy theory about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Taylor Swift runs the NFL. I have added some layers to the onion. We're going to get to that. And also a little later, Scott Harris said, okay, team's not done. I'm going to give you three options. You got to pick one.
Sounds good.
Tell me what you want.
Have a great show, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Stay safe, everyone. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.